For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
NFL Draft Week is here, and we're going to have podcasts all week long here on the Believe in Steelers show. Welcome in. My name is Mark Bergen, riding solo today and for most of this week. My guy, Ike Taylor. We're going to talk to him after the drafts, and that's understandable given his scouting position with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll have his full analysis after the Steelers make all their picks this week in the 2024 draft. On today's episode, I'm going to be breaking down the top defensive linemen, defensive tackles, edge rushers, and defensive tackles, an area of need maybe on day two or three for Pittsburgh. Now, before we get too far ahead, today's episode of Believe in Steelers is brought to you by betonline.ag. If you want to place a bet on any of the NFL draft action, any of the playoff action when it comes to NBA and NHL, betonline.ag is the place to do it. Use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get started over on betonline.ag. BetOnline, where the game starts. It's draft week. I'm absolutely psyched, and let's get right into it. Top defensive tackles, and the reason why we're going to talk defensive tackles first is I don't think it's an immediate area of need for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but Cam Hayward, in the final year of his contract, going to be 35 years old in the 2024 season. Larry Ogunjobi getting into his 30s as well. How do you restock the cupboard? And you like what you have with Keanu Benton. DeMarvin Leal has shown flashes. Isaiah Loudermilk. Brandon Fajoco is coming back. And Montrevious Adams as well. But the reason why I think that the Steelers on day two or day three could go defensive tackle is with Cam Hayward. His cap hits $22.4 million in the 2024 season. Final year of his deal, 35 years old. We love him in Pittsburgh. But potentially, this could be his last year in the NFL. Are the Steelers going to try to spread out that contract over multiple seasons if he wants to play beyond the 2024 season? He's been doing it at a very high level for a very long time. But this is why I think Pittsburgh could draft a defensive tackle on day two or day three. So which players are we talking about? And let's start with Byron Murphy, the three technique out of Texas. I think he's the best player, and I think it's the conversation starts between him and Zarhan Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois. But Murphy's a three technique, meaning he'll line up in the B gap most of the time between guard and tackle, maybe off shade sometimes between center and guard, but an absolute disruptor at the line of scrimmage and someone that the Steelers are going to need with the front seven of the defense. Pittsburgh's not going to have success if you remember 2 years ago, the Steelers ranked dead last in the league in rushing yards allowed, but were first in sacks. That dichotomy, I don't think we've ever seen. Again, this was 2 years ago. But Murphy would be a guy out of Texas who's adept at making plays in the backfield against opposing offenses. And I have him first on my board among the defensive tackles. And again, as a three technique, I just think that there's a lot of disruption in the backfield. Texas has a really, really talented class. But I think it starts with Byron Murphy, 6'1", 297. He'll turn 22, but just high-energy pass rusher, creates havoc, quick first step, powerful punch, relentless motor. Everything that you want from a defensive tackle, 4.87. Which is really fast for a defensive tackle. A lot of explosion as well. 33-inch vertical, 9.3 in the broad jump, 28 reps in the bench press. So maybe a little bit undersized, but a disruptive force when it comes to controlling the line of scrimmage and in the run game, which is absolutely needed when it comes to AFC North football. So Murphy from Texas is my number one. Number two, Zarhan Newton of Illinois. A little bit undersized on the interior. Also a three technique, but he wins with leverage. He wins with quickness and hand usage. I think these are your top two. I think it's really 1A, 1B when it comes to Newton and Murphy, and I think you could debate both of them back and forth. I think both are very intriguing prospects. I've got Murphy ahead of Newton out of Texas, but Newton, 6'2", 304, and he didn't test for the 40-yard dash, the vertical jump, bench press, broad jump, three-cone drill, or the 20-yard shuttle at the NFL draft, but an interior rusher who just slices into the pocket consistently. Plays low, plays with leverage too, which is really, really important. Again, a little bit undersized from what you might like, but I think these are your top two guys. I think from here, the conversation falls off a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to belittle any of these prospects, but compared to other drafts, I think that there are other drafts that have deeper players when it comes to the talent at defensive tackle. So I think Murphy and Newton are your top two. Let's get to number three, and that's Darius Robinson out of Mizzou. I've seen some boards have him as an edge rusher. We'll get to him as an edge rusher as well. I've seen some boards have him as a defensive tackle. Now, Robinson out of Missouri is not going to wow you because you look at the 40 time and you say, Mark, this 40 time, a 4.95, how's that impressive? For me, it's the length and it's the versatility of he can line up inside, he can line up outside, and the guy just made plays this last year for the Missouri Tigers, a team that only lost two games all season long. So the numbers aren't going to wow you when it comes to Robinson out of Missouri, but to me, it's his versatility. You can put him inside, you can put him outside. There's not a ton of guys that are capable of doing that. 6'5", so good size, and they moved him from defensive tackle two seasons ago. This past season for Missouri, played off the edge. So he can rotate between a nose tackle, three technique off the edge. That versatility is what I like from him as a pass rusher. And again, you see the 40 time and you're going to say, well, you know, from the interior, that's not going to matter as much. But good size, uses his push-pull very well, and was an absolute playmaker off the edge for a Missouri Tigers team that won a New Year's Six bowl game against Ohio State this past season. First team All-SEC guy, and 42 pressures, 27 stops, 14 tackles for loss, and 8.5 sacks. That guy was just in the backfield and was a nightmare for opposing offenses in the SEC. So that's why I've got Darius Robinson at number three when it comes to defensive tackle. At number four, Braden Fisk out of Florida State. When I was at the Combine in Indianapolis, he was the guy who moved and was the most fluid among all of the defensive tackles. Now, also a little bit undersized, about 6 foot, maybe 6'3", 292. So the weight, maybe you'd want a little bit bigger of a prospect, but in terms of the fluidity and how he moved, that to me was what stuck out to him the most. I know that the Combine is the underwear Olympics, but just how he moved during the drill. I want to make sure I have this right. He's 6'4", so he's tall, but 292 pounds. Maybe you want to see him get a little bit bigger, but a 4.78 in the 40, which was among the fastest of all of the defensive tackles. 33.5-inch vert, 9.9 broad jump, 4.37 in the 20-yard shuttle, 26 bench press reps too. Started out at Western Michigan and then transferred over to Florida State. Florida State defense that during the regular season went undefeated as well, and he was a big reason why on the interior. 12 tackles for loss, 6 sacks in 2022. That was at Western Michigan. And then this last year made a seamless transition to the Power Five. Sometimes when players transfer over, it's like, how is this going to transfer over? But 26 stops, 28 pressures, 6 snaps, and was a vital role, part of that Florida State Seminoles defense. And at the Combine, ran faster than any defensive tackle, led all defensive linemen in vertical jump, broad jump, and shuttle run. So this guy can move off the line of scrimmage and can be a disruptor using his speed, getting in between gaps, causing disruption for opposing offenses. That's Braden Fisk out of Florida State. And last among the big fellas on the interior, Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. You're going to say, wait a second, is this the same Chris Jenkins who played all those years for the Carolina Panthers? It's his son. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Michigan dominated the line of scrimmage this past season en route to a national championship. So coming from someone who played 7 years in the league, doesn't have quite the same pedigree as his dad, but 360-pound girth of his old man, the new Chris Jenkins, his son, 299. So not quite as big, but filling out, getting acclimated to the college game. I always love when I see sons play in the league because they can learn from their fathers. They can learn from the guys who did it at the highest level. And a really good run defender, had really good run grades this past season. Able to stack, able to shed versus the run. Two-time All-Big Ten player. That's Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. An honorable mention I want to make mention of too. Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, and you talk about a big boy up threat, 366. I think he's still going to need to shed a little bit of weight, but you talk about gap responsibilities and being able to take up two gaps. Tavondre Sweat is a massive human, a massive, massive dude, but Sweat out of Texas as well as a dynamic player. Can you imagine trying to block Sweat and Murphy, the two defensive tackles out of Texas this past season? And that's a reason, a big reason why Texas went on a run last year. It's why the Texas Longhorns had a great season in 2023. Those two dudes up front were just special, special players. So again, to recap, let me go through really quickly before we go to edge rushers. I've got Byron Murphy out of Texas, Zerhan Newton out of Illinois, Darius Robinson at number three, Braden Fisk out of Florida State, and Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Those are my top five defensive tackles. Again, honorable mention going to Tavondre Sweat out of Texas. Massive, massive human. Like, just wow. Wow. All right, let's get to edge rushers. And I understand that this is not an area of need with the Pittsburgh Steelers, considering you've got TJ Watt, you've got Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig played really well. Interesting with Herbig too, Steelers aren't going to bring back Marcus Golden, and Marcus Golden played well with the reps that he had, but so did Nick Herbig. So when TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith need a breather, Herbig's going to be the guy in the 2024 season that's going to come off the edge and continue to make plays. Because with the snaps that he had, get him a larger sample size. Wow, he made plays for Pittsburgh this last year in his rookie year. So what he can do in year two, I can't wait to see. Let's get to the edge rushers. Number one, Dallas Turner out of Alabama. 6'3", 247. This is a player whose weight fluctuated in college, right? So he appears to be in good shape now. Long arms. Can rush from a two-point stance, a three-point stance. Explosive first step off the edge. This is a basketball guy as well. He was invited to the Team USA basketball camp in high school before he said, I'm going to switch to football full time. His dad played basketball overseas for 12 years. He's in Florida A&M's Hall of Fame as well. So Turner came out of the pandemic. He was 260, then he lost that in college. 240 by the time the season rolled around. The national championship game, when they played in the championship game, he was 225. So his weight fluctuated in college. When he's in shape, I can't wait to see what he does. But Turner said, I believe it was before the combine, that his best weight was like 255, where he feels most powerful. A little bit slimmer than that right now. He's listed at 6'3", 247. But a 4.46 off the edge, what I would say is this. If you're an opposing offensive tackle, good luck blocking this guy. I'm not as high on Turner as I was Will Anderson a year ago, but this is just next in line for Alabama. 4.46 off the edge, so he can move at the same speed as skill position players, and he's a lineman off the edge. Oh, man. Whichever team gets this guy is going to get a freak athlete, because having to account for that speed and how that sets up moves and counter moves. And it's not just the 4.46. Here's how I know he's explosive. A vertical jump of 40 and a half and a 10-7 broad jump. That's where you see that basketball background coming in when it comes to Dallas Turner. So everything that you would want when it comes to the athleticism of an edge rusher. Can he just continue to develop as a football player? He's my number one for a reason, because I think he can really, really develop once he actually learns to play the sport more. But I always love guys that have backgrounds of playing other sports and how it serves them well. I just look at this from an absolute matchup nightmare for an opposing offensive tackle having to go across from Dallas Turner out of Alabama. He's my number one guy. 53 tackles in 14 games played, 14 and a half tackles for a loss and 10 sacks for the Crimson Tide this last year. Did not test at the bench press, the three-cone drill, or the 20-yard shuttle, but I really, really like Turner out of Alabama. Let's go to my number two, and that's Laitu Latu out of UCLA. And let me say this, 6'5", 259. Everything I'm about to say comes with the caveat with Latu out of UCLA, and it's this, the neck issues. Huge red flag. When it comes to his ability as a football player, if the injuries were not an issue, he'd be number one on my board. He might be the first defensive player off my board, if not for the neck issues. Received clearance to play from Dr. Robert Watkins. Mark, who's Dr. Robert Watkins? Same guy who treated Peyton Manning's neck injury. The difference, though, is when you're at the line of scrimmage and it's play after play after play after play of a collision sport, it's a little bit different than the quarterback position who, by and large, the league protects. The neck issues were a concern because Latu was told he would no longer be able to play football just a few years ago. Missed the entire 2020 season with the Washington Huskies, didn't play in 2021, got cleared again after having the operation, getting clearance from Dr. Robert Watkins. But when he was on the field, 21 and a half tackles for a loss, 13 sacks. And for me, with Latu, it's his ability to bend off the edge. UCLA moved him all over the field to create matchup problems. But his ability to bend in whatever way on film was just downright impressive. Just downright impressive. Love the size, 6'5", 259. Really, really talented player. All Pac-12 pick, first team, just made plays. A 4.64 in the 40, 32-inch vertical, 9.8 broad jump. So some of the combine numbers aren't going to pop off, but pop on the tape, and this guy made plays. If you can figure out a way to keep him healthy, if not for the neck issues, I think we'd be talking about Latu out of UCLA a lot differently. I really believe that. But it reminds me a little bit a few years back when Caleb Farley was coming out of Virginia Tech, the cornerback, where everything that you see, you love, but they come into the league with red flags when it comes to the medicals. And there's usually good reason for that. So if he can go to a situation where he doesn't need to be the guy right away, you can get him acclimated to the pro game, the physicality, week after week, a 17-game regular season schedule. Latu out of UCLA, if he can stay healthy, I think a team could get a steal for him. But again, coming into the league with the red flags of the neck issues, that's why I have him at number two, if not lower than that. If he didn't have the neck issues, we'd be having a much different conversation. I would have worry if I were a general manager and he were on the board and he's by far the most talented player by the time you're picking. But then you look at the medicals and you go back to the neck issues. This is a player I would avoid for that reason. I'm just going to be frank. I hope he has a great career, because when he's on the field, he is a special, special player. Let's go to number three. And that's Jared Verse out of Florida State. Another guy who was vital for the Seminoles defense, a team that went undefeated during the regular season. And he's been the guy for a while now, too. 12 and a half tackles for loss, 9 sacks, 4.58 in the 40 off the edge, 35-inch vert, 10.7 broad jump. And this was a guy who played basketball and ran track in high school. He's part of a state championship 4x400 relay team. Guy off the edge that's just an absolute playmaker, 6'4", 254, prototypical size and speed when it comes to the edge rusher position. That's Jared Verse out of Florida State. He's number three. And let's just keep this rolling. Let's keep going. Chop Robinson out of Penn State. Maybe my favorite name in the draft. Freak athlete, 6'3", 254, burst and bend off the edge. Before the combine, he said he wanted to run a 4.4 in the 40. Ran a 4.48. It's in the 93rd percentile of everyone that at his position group that ran in, at the combine. A 10.8 broad jump as well. Explosive off the edge. Question is can he just put it all together in terms of that athleticism and be a good football player? Can he be a good player? So the story of why he's called Chop Robinson, he was 14 pounds when he was born, earned the nickname Pork Chop. And he's among my favorites, edge rusher out of Penn State. Great athlete, great, great athlete. If he can put it all together and get some good coaching in the league, I really like him as a prospect out of Penn State. And then last to round it out, I'm going back to Darius Robinson out of Mizzou. And this to me again, 6'5", 286, and it's the versatility. One other thing I want to mention about Robinson too is at the Senior Bowl, I thought he really stood out. Thought he was among the best defensive players at the Senior Bowl. Very successful performance there. And it's the versatility to play inside, outside, wherever you need him to line up on the defensive line. That's Darius Robinson out of Missouri. So let me go through and recap the top five edge rushers. Dallas Turner out of Alabama, UCLA's Latu out of UCLA. He's number two. Number three, Jared Verse out of Florida State. Number four, Chop Robinson out of Penn State. Number five, Darius Robinson out of Missouri. So you've got my top five defensive tackles, top five edge rushers. Later this week, I'm going to get to the rest of the positions. So let me give you a roadmap of what's to come here on the Believe in Steelers show. Later this week, we're going to have running backs and linebackers. That'll be my next episode. Going to get to cornerbacks and wide receivers, two positions of need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very excited to talk about receivers and corners. Also going to have quarterbacks and safeties as well to round it out. Also going to give you a Steelers mock draft before Thursday as well. Keep it here on Believe in Steelers. Going to have a lot of content for the listeners and the viewers this week. Steelers, let's go through their draft picks really quickly. 20, 51, 84, 98, 119. Sixth round pick, 178, 195 as well. So a lot of picks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a lot of holes, a lot more depth that the team needs. And I cannot wait to see what they do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And again, the reason I am solo as well, got to talk to Ike after the draft, have to respect his responsibilities as a scout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Super excited to talk to him next week. It'll be a week from today. We have him on again to recap what Pittsburgh does Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I will have a full live reaction recap Thursday night for the Steelers' first round pick. So keep it here on Believe in Steelers between now and then. I want to thank Bet Online as well, today's presenting sponsor of Believe in Steelers. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leave a 5-star review. And if you're on YouTube, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. Hope all of you have terrific Mondays. Cannot wait to Thursday's NFL draft. I'll see you later this week. Before then, to break everything down, going top five, position by position. My name is Mark Bergen. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Take care and so long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.